good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. We are, we had a busy, busy week. Been all over the state, working, and, just thought probably ought to come in here and do the show this morning. Pulling the microphone down a notch? Like, that, is that better? All right, is that better, ladies and gentlemen? I hope so. You're pretty much going to run the show today. 410-922-6680. 410-WCBM 680. 1-800-922-6680. 1-800-WCBM 680. Anything you'd like to talk about, we'll talk about. No guest, me and you. Any questions you have, we'll try to answer. Any comments you'd like to make, we'll make. I haven't had one slurp of coffee yet. Been too hot to drink, but that's okay. Email's open, I think. Let's see here. That might take a while to load up, but that's okay. Email address is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. So, let's see what happened this week. Well, we had the General Assembly this week, ongoing legislative action in Annapolis through the General Assembly, where our officials gather, our representatives gather every January, February, and March to enact laws and to pass regulations. Well, you know, battle back and forth about the budget, different things, and those issues most affecting recreational fishermen and hunters that are taken care of in the General Assembly get debated. A couple of the biggies this year were an increase in the hunting license fees and an increase in the boating fees. Other things that affect us, of course, is the governor's proposed tax on fuel and gasoline. And I can tell you this. Yesterday, the hunting license increase bill was heard by the House. Environmental committee, whatever the committee is. There's 20-some members of the 20-some delegates, 20-some members of the House of Representatives get together. Environmental Matters Committee, that's what it's called. And in the meeting 2 weeks ago on Saturday with the wildlife director and with other members of the hunting community and with the secretary, also the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Foundation, we pretty much let Paul Pedito know how we felt about the increases in the hunting license as proposed. 2 days later, those proposals were reduced. Those numbers were reduced, and I have those numbers, and I think I might have shared them with you, but I have them with you if you'd like to know how much the hunting licenses are proposed to increase. I'll be more than glad to share those with you. That bill was heard yesterday, and no action was taken by the committee. None was expected. However, there were several of us that were going to testify, and I'd written out my testimony and submitted it by email to all the members of the committee, which took about, after writing it and spell checking it and reviewing it and going online to having printed out the list of all the committee members, there's like I said, like 20 some of them, it took about 40 minutes to do all that. Not quite that long to do all the emails, but if you want to become interactive with your delegates or with the committee that's hearing the bills, it's a very simple process if you're online. Go to the General Assembly homepage. You find a list of senators or House of Representative members or committee members, and then you simply go down an alphabetical list and click on that delegate or senator's name. And a little box comes up and says, send an email. And you click that, and it opens up your email with their name and their email address on there. You can type in your subject and then cut and paste your message to everybody. And that's what I did. I made a one-page testimony, put it in a document, copied it, clicked it onto the email, and sent it on its way. 20-some emails, you know, plus writing it, 35 minutes or so, something like that. And every member of that committee knows now, at least received how I feel about the whatever subject it might be. But let's talk to Ray in Crownsville and see what Ray has to say. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Good morning. It's Rick.
Oh, okay. I have Ray down here.
It's early in the morning. I just wanted to ask you if there's anything you can advise us on helping us do, especially with our politicians, to increase the knowledge and, you know, on the shooting sports, to help you know, the younger generation, you know, with knowledge about it, safety reasons, and, you know, the different types like, you know, cowboy action, trap, skeet, sporting clays, target, and, you know, there's more, you know, and getting them to learn more about shooting a gun than, you know, just hunting or...
Well, that's a good point. Now, you know, there are a number of events that deal with that. Hunter Safety Course talks about that, but it doesn't get into all the different venues and that type of thing.
Yeah, because there's a multitude of shooting sports out there.
Oh, sure is.
Nobody even really knows about it. All they think about is hunting. Is the only reason.
Good point. Are you connected with some sportsman's group, Ray? Yourself?
I used to be a long time ago with Anne Arundel Fishing Game.
Yeah.
I used to trap shoot there. I started there when I was 10 years old.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting that that you bring that up, because it's a good point. In the magazine that I published called the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, our first issue had an article about skeet shooting and what skeet was all about, and how you could use skeet shooting to make you a better shot on ducks. You know, but maybe we ought to...
It also helps train you with your concentration and self-control.
Well, I think that was probably in there. Yeah, you're probably right. But that's a good idea. Maybe I should consider that, using that whole thing. Maybe have my writer do a brief description of all these events. The trouble is access. I mean, you know, it's, if somebody were to sit down and do an in-depth article, that would be pages and pages on just one of those subjects. I mean, you know, where do you go to do cowboy shooting? Where do you go to do skeet? Where do you go to do trap? Where do you go? You know, I mean, skeet and trap and sporting clays usually is all the same place. There are a number of sporting clays ranges around and that type of thing. Some are open, some are closed, some are good, some are bad. And, you know, you can't really distinguish that in a general article. But it is a very good idea to do that. And you know what? Here's something else. Maybe somebody in the sporting community could do a short one-pager on that, with some website references and things like that. And then, you know, if people were interested in one of those venues or another, they could, go online and follow that around. But as far as kids are concerned, that's going to take a mentoring program. Now, there are some good kids shooting programs here in Maryland. I don't know if you know this.
The only problem is, you know, unfortunately, not a lot of people that are not already into the shooting sports know about them.
Oh, I understand that. Well, you know, here's the thing, though. You know, if they're not into it or don't care about it. Now, you know, this TV show called Top Shot is out there, and that's got everything on it. That's got flintlock pistols and crossbows and you name it. It's got the whole deal on there. That has increased tremendously the interest in the shooting sports. Not necessarily sporting clays or skeet or trap or anything like that, but recreational shooting. And I'm pleased that show is out there, kind of like Survivor with a gun.
Right.
You know, but I think you're onto something, Ray. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you, Kyle, for listening to me.
All right, buddy. You take care.
You have a good one.
All righty. Bye-bye. There he goes. Jeff in Towson. Good morning, Jeff.
How you doing, sir?
Good. It's Alan. How are you?
All righty. In the interest of speaking about fishing and something fun as opposed to politics and such.
Please.
I really get tired out here and that stuff.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Jeff. You very much may, but I've got 2 hours here to tell folks in the community what's going on. And that was part of my testimony, was to let our General Assembly know that a lot of people don't know how, for example, our fish and game departments are funded. If I said to you, you buy a fishing license, right?
Sure.
Okay. Do you know that those funds are protected? Do you know that those fishing license funds do not go into the general fund?
I assume they go to fish and wildlife.
They go to fisheries. That's right. Do you also know that those funds are matched to some degree with federal dollars?
That's good to know.
Yeah. Do you know how that federal money is allocated or how it comes about?
Probably not.
Okay.
More taxes.
How? See, that's the thing that people don't know. You go out and buy a fishing rod and reel. You go to the big box or you go to the local shop, you buy a fishing rod and reel. Okay?
Right.
There's an 11% federal excise tax. It's already built into the price of that. That is collected by the manufacturer. It is sent to the Internal Revenue Service, and that fund, that excise tax, is protected. It does not go into the general fund. Your excise tax dollars do not go anywhere except back out to the states to use for fisheries management. And it's on boat fuel, it's on fishing tackle, it's on archery tackle, it's on guns and ammunition.
Well, that's good news.
Okay. Well, you see, that's why I'm here. That's been around since the 30s. That used to be called the Wallop Bro Funds. It's now called the Sport Fish Restoration Fund. On the hunting side, it's called the Wildlife Restoration Fund, and it used to be called the Pittman-Robertson Act, named after the senators that brought it in. It's been around since the 1930s, those programs, and that's how the states are funded. Very little of our general funds goes into fisheries management. If you enjoy fishing and you're very pleased with our abundant fish here in Maryland, wherever it might be freshwater, trout stocking program, the management of the resources, the patrolling and everything else of the waterways by the DNR cops, CNRP, That all has to come from somewhere, and very little of it comes from the general taxpayers. Very, very little of it.
Well, I'd most be interested in, as far as the fishing goes, and that abundance of fish. Two things come to mind, since I'm not a boating person, but a land-based or a wading person.
Sure, that's fine.
I'm interested in where I tried a little bit yesterday up at Dockraven near the Warren Road Bridge.
Yeah.
It was very muddy and shallow, but I'm looking to try and catch one of them northern pike or the pickerels, and on the brackish water side, I guess, a place where you can wade or go off the land and catch some striped bass, because I've not caught one of those in life. So I'm looking to try and catch the pike and the striped bass, but from land, which a lot of people do boats, but I don't do that.
Yeah, I understand. That's very very understandable. When I was a kid, I used to fish for northern pike. My dad did have a boat, and we didn't always use it. It was on a lake that had northern pike, and we fished often. We fished from the shore for northern pike. Now, in the northern pike situation, what you want to do is be able to find a spot where you can have access to an area where the fish would live, where the fish would inhabit. To do that, you got to know a little bit about the fish. A northern pike is primarily an ambush feeder, as are pickerel, which means they strike from cover. Most of that cover is grass and weeds. And if you're a wader or a shore angler, you're going to need to get along the edges of the weeds and serve up something that excites them. Do you fish with bait or with lures?
I go with lures.
Lures, all right. Well, a northern pike will strike anything shiny. The old traditional lure was Johnson Silver Minnow. The Johnson Silver Minnow is a weedless spoon. People would put a big old chunk of pork rind on the back of it and toss it out. Coming through the water, it looked like a minnow that was swimming and nice and shiny, and it would attract northern pike. And it went through the weeds very easily because it had a big metal weed guard on it. When a pike would grab it, of course, there was a single hook that rested upwards on the spoon, and that was it. It's still a good northern pike lure. People use buzz baits. People use spinner baits.
Some kind of concoction similar to that I had seen, like on the Versus Channel, with people catching those muskies, similar type of creature. And like I said, I was up there. That I don't know why the water was very shallow and very muddy yesterday up above that bridge, but it's kind of swampy and wasn't the best walking conditions and fishing conditions.
Well, in that case, you find another spot.
Yeah,
you do. I mean, you find another spot. I think there's a couple nice places for access up there by Pierce's Plantation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, going up that way.
Way up there, yeah.
And, you know, the other thing you can always do is go back to the fishing center, and I'm pretty sure they'd allow you to fish around the boat ramp area there, which isn't bad.
Yeah, sometimes I go off of that golf course.
Pine Ridge,
they don't seem to mind that.
Now somebody was telling me about a spot back there by the driving range that gives you access to Loch Raven. It's a pretty nice spot back there. There's an island out there, and there's a couple of drop offs out there that you can fish. But you know, going out towards that island.
Okay.
So. Yeah, think about that. But, you know, that's the northern pike and pickerel thing. Some of the ponds that are around, some of the tidal rivers also offer up some good pickerel fishing.
Over the eastern shore for that, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. There's like Unicorn Lake and Tuckahoe, and some of those places have really good pickerel fishing. I would, for the striped bass off land, you're going to have to get, of course, down along the bay. And I don't know how far you're willing to travel. There's a really nice fishing pier underneath the Kent Narrows Bridge, which is good for striped bass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have to cross the bridge, of course. There is some access, like Fort Howard and that type of thing. But if I were doing it, I'd go Magothy, Roman Coke. Those areas. You know how to get to those?
I got a map, yes, sir.
Okay, Magothy is down Route 8. Roman Coke is at the end of Route 8. That's the first exit when you get off the Bay Bridge to the right there and head out towards the bay. There's a nice pier there at Mattapique, and then the Roman Coke is further down the road. There's the Point Lookout Fishing Pier. There's another fishing pier down in Solomon's Island, which could be a good possibility.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a number of access points like that. If you're computer literate, go online onto the DNR website. They have a lot of access points on there that'll help you out.
Yeah, I see all those folks getting those fish on that forum.
Yeah, the Angler's Log. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. So, any other questions?
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Jeff. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Have a good one. See, that's what I mean. You guys run the show. We can go from sporting clays to pickerel fishing in the blink of an eye. So we can. You know, it is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes, like a grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or even thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, or a fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you are in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. We invite you to stop by your local fishing citation center, which is usually the tackle store nearby or wherever you can buy your license, or go online at www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge. And, of course, Diamond Jim, we'll be talking about him a little later on. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details, or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Hey, we want to welcome back Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena, is a sponsor of the Outdoors and Radio Show. They're now open. They just opened this week, and they're ready to go with fish and tackle and crabbing supplies, live bait. You know, a little bit limited right now. They don't have everything. They don't have, you know, the peelers and that kind of stuff. But they're ready to go and talk to you about fishing, teach you how to rig up for striped bass. They've got custom hand-tied, hand-painted striped bass lures, you know, all the umbrella rigs and jigs and bucktails and all that, the shad bodies and the whole deal. We invite you to visit Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road. That's 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland. You just take Route 100 all the way to the end, hit Mountain Road, head out towards Gibson Island. They're out there a little bit on the right-hand side, and you can find them, 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573, Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Don't forget to call my buddy Bud for an up-to-date fishing report.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes! Here comes Amos! Now Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. They just knock him in the head with a stomp. The Louisiana law gon' get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blamed his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp. Alligator bait in the Louisiana bayou.
I never heard that on the... Never heard that on the History Channel, but hey, you know, there's always hope. Good old Jerry Reed, you know? The late Jerry Reed. You gotta love that song, right? That's right. Ah, here's Charles in Baltimore. Let's see what Charles has to say. Good morning, Charles. How are you today?
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Alan.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Faith in Bigorda and all that stuff.
Well, I called you last week, and you've told me to call you this week.
Yes,
regarding some of the interesting animals that I have investigated around the world.
Yes, sir.
And I did an orthopedic evaluation of many animals and traveled to different parts of the world.
Yes.
In order to study them. And some of them, and if you want an exhilarating experience in travel, you go to Madagascar and study the lemurs. I wrote about the prosimians of the lemurs. And go to Sarawak and visit the orangutans. And what a delightful experience that is, to hold an orangutan baby in your arms. And I did the polar bears. I did a rather intensive study of polar bears, which are now getting a lot of press at the present time. And I wanted to go to Indonesia and study the remnants of the dinosaurs, which are the which are the tree shrews of Indonesia, which is another interesting animal.
Right.
But these experiences bring you into the entire animal kingdom of the world. And I wanted to tell everybody, I told you I had hunting dogs when I was young, and
yes,
the legs went. Usually I gave the dog away to as a house pet. But my St. Bernard, which was 180 pounds 2 years ago, his legs all of a sudden went.
Yeah, you were telling us that.
I put him on a nutritional program, and I want to report that he is still walking. He doesn't fall down anymore.
Wonderful.
But his legs gave way, and took him down to about 160 pounds. But for people that have these dogs and it seems hopeless, there is hope. And I have a program that I put them on, and I'm so happy about it. It's an exhilarating experience to save your dog.
Oh, yes.
Especially when you love them. And I want to tell you, Alan, you're my hunting experience of the world now. You're
we try, buddy. We do.
Travel.
We do.
And talking to you, it has resurrected many memories in my mind.
Oh, I'm glad to hear
and
that.
And I am now confined to just talking to you and enjoying the world and your program.
Well,
you are one of the things that keep me going.
Oh, my. Well, that's a heavy burden, sir.
Well, you certainly have been able to take care of it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
And you've made my life worthwhile.
Oh, wonderful. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, Charles, I appreciate that. And I'm always fascinated to hear your stories about your world travels and some of the world leaders that you've met and some of the things that you've done. And I know you've written extensively. You said you've done orthopedic work on these animals, but not only just examined them, but you've actually written about it.
Yeah, I wanted to know why penguins were able to take a posture, and I wrote the prosimians of the Antarctica, and I wrote all about how they stand up straight and their ambulation and motivations.
Uh-huh.
So all of this has been part of my life.
Wonderful.
Yes, and sir. Thank you so
All right,
much.
Sir. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Charles. Richard in Glen Burnie, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. He mentioned baby orangutans. It made me think of holding my first son, Richard.
That's just wrong.
Oh, yeah.
That's just wrong.
He's 6'8" now. The girls nicknamed him Wookie because he's got a duck when he comes through the door.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was visiting one of your sponsors yesterday and got the new magazine. And
oh, good.
That one deer is Akakeek Freak.
Isn't that something?
That is unbelievable.
Exactly. Yeah, that was Mark Harsbuck. And the next issue, we've actually got the taxidermist story. That talks and he's got photos of what he found when he started working on that deer, that Akakeek Freak deer. For people that don't know, they can access it online to www.marylandhuntingquarterly.com and read the entire magazine online. Mark Haar, very nice guy, originally from Florida, only ever took two small bucks in his life, and was hoping for a nice one. Well, he got the buck of a lifetime there. He shot that deer. When he got up to it, one of the horns was missing. One of the antlers was missing. And maybe I was even more correct when I said horn, because he was able to find it and reattach it because the pedicel had extended up into the base of the horn. The horn was actually hollow, like a sheep. Both of them were like that. The pedicels extended several inches up into those antlers, and somehow or another those antlers grew kind of like a sheep or a goat grows on a base rather than on the pedicel like a normal deer does. So the taxidermist story is interesting. That'll be in the next issue, but quite a deer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yep.
I was down at Bay Line because I bought a new truck, and he really hooked me up good. He does an excellent job.
Oh, Bobby, yeah, let me tell you what. I got a new commercial from him the other day. He sent me one, and it was a very good commercial. Talked about the commercial applications as far as you know, being able to come to your home, and talked about bed liners. There's a couple different coatings there for bed liners. They do, you know, secondary, what do they call it? Secondary abatement. They do, you know, buildings. They can actually, the Linex coating is actually on the walls of the Pentagon. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep. After the 9/11 attacks, they were looking for something to contain explosives, and they came up with the Linex material. Some of the inside walls in the Pentagon are actually coated with the Linex material. People are using it to spray underground tanks and things like that. And of course, I'm sure you're satisfied with your bed liner.
Oh yeah, I got the extra additive that makes it extra hard, and it actually makes it look better too. It's a little shinier.
Yeah, I have that. That's the one I got. Exactly right. I can't say the name of that, but anybody can visit their website at baylinex.com. And if you mentioned the radio show, I hope you did.
Oh yeah, I did.
Did he give you a gift card?
Nah, but he did a couple little extra things for me, and didn't even charge me. So.
Oh well, then there you go. You probably did a better benefit than the gift card. If anybody mentions the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors, they'll get a $30 gift card from Bass Pro Shop. Now that just started this week, so you went in there a week too late.
Oh, that's all right. I was happy with what I got.
We'll see if we can hook you up, Richard. But if he did some extra services, I think you should be happy. And I'll tell you that bed liner is just terrific. It really is.
Oh yeah.
So
yep, I was really really happy with it.
Good. Did you use the name of the Outdoorsman Radio Show? Did you tell him you heard it here?
We talked about it. And okay. He said he just got you the new commercial.
Yeah. Yep.
A couple days ago.
Yep, he did. How about that? Well, you must have just recently been in there.
I was in there yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh well, there you go. Cool. Very cool.
Yep.
All right.
I got a magazine now. I know because it's close to my house that I could just go there and pick.
Just
one.
Go there and pick it up. Absolutely. Yep. Exactly. Very good. All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks, Richard.
Uh-huh.
Bye bye. Yeah, I mean, all those new services at Bay Linex are pretty cool, you know. And if you'd like to visit them at Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, can do your truck bread and do an excellent job. He's done mine, and actually, they sell truck accessories too. They put a lid on my truck that is absolutely fantastic. It's called an undercover lid. It's waterproof. You know, you haul magazines around, a truckload of magazines, and you want the water to stay off of them, and it absolutely has kept every magazine dry since last June. So 400 Arundel Corporation Road, that's Beltway Exit 3A. 3A actually tees right onto Arundel Corporation Road. You just make a left there, and you get down to baylinex.com there in bay number I. Again, you can visit them online at baylinex.com, baylinex.com. Bobby Hawkins is the man that Richard was just talking about. 410-789-0199, 789-0199. Find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card by mentioning this Outdoorsman Radio Show. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Are you looking for the truth? Find it every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it, 'cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and out.
toe, and oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage. She's all decked out in brown and green. She's the sexiest tree I've ever seen. Can't concentrate.
There you go. My baby looks good in camouflage. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. You folks are controlling the show today. You can only do that if you give us a call here at 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. Another bill that was heard recently is the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act. It was previously called Natural Resources Suspension of Hunting Licenses and Privileges. It has been renamed with new language and amendments called the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act. Pleased to be a part of that roundtable work group that met with the department, met with the director and members of the some landowners and some members of the community, hunting community, and the bill was actually introduced as the Suspension of Hunting Licenses and Privileges, a bill that's been introduced twice before, and was killed. Last year was killed 2 hours before Sine Die, by one of the senators asking for amendments, and that happens. But the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act will strengthen compliance with Maryland's wildlife laws through the imposition of penalties intended to deter those who repeatedly commit wildlife violations and who willfully violate the spirit of the public trust doctrine. There are some penalties listed in here. There is some uncodified language that the committee actually had placed in the bill, and it deals with primarily deer poaching, but you know it can be turkeys or bears or anything else. And it, what it does is it gives the Wildlife and Heritage Division or Service more authority to suspend privileges or revoke privileges or to seize property. Fisheries already has this. Fisheries has this authority to seize property and to suspend revoke privileges for recreational fishermen and for commercial fishermen as well. But now we have it for recreational hunters who are not actually hunters, who are violators, who are poachers. And it's called House Bill 1052, the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act. It's past third reader, and it's been read a couple of times. It's been amended a couple of times, and so hopefully that one will help us with our penalty phase here. Something I talk about quite frequently here during hunting season when we read the names of those who are caught. Coming up here in two weeks, March 31st, Fort Frederick State Park will host a morning of fun and fishing at their third annual youth fishing rodeo, Saturday, March 31st from 9 to 12. Participants will join the park staff at Fort Frederick's Beaver Pond, which will be stocked with trout and ready for fishing. The event is open to children ages 15 and under. Prizes are sponsored by the Clear Spring Lions Club and will be given out to each participant. Space is limited to 30. And registration is required. Each participant must be accompanied by an adult over the age of 18 and bring their own bait and tackle. For more information, call Fort Frederick State Park, 301-842-2155. And the alternate date will be a week later, April 7th, again from 9 to 12 in case of that would be the rain date. So there you are. We also want to tell you about the new blue catfish record. The press release just came out. About that, we told you about that a day or two after it happened here on the Outdoors and Radio show. Sean Wetzel of Ortana, Pennsylvania, 27 years old, caught a whopping 80-pound, 12-ounce blue catfish, and this was on February 23rd in the Potomac River near Fort Washington. The Department of Natural Resources confirmed that the blue catfish was a new state record, annihilating the previous record holder by 13 pounds. Mr. Wetzel said the rod went down hard. I knew it was something big. At one point, I was on my knees trying to lift the fish, and my back was burning. I bet it was. Previous record was just over 67 pounds and was caught in 2008 by Ron Lewis in the Potomac, not far from where Wetzel caught his fish. Previously this year, there were two other state records taken on a state holiday, caught the same day, and could not be confirmed. When we talked about that earlier on, couldn't find a biologist to confirm the fish at the dock. I mean, these guys fish for these fish. They concentrate on these giant catfish. And if they catch a big one that's a potential state record, and they weigh it, and they know it beats a state record, it's got to be confirmed by a biologist. And I'm not banging, I'm not dinging the department on that. I mean, everybody had the day off. It was a state holiday. These guys caught two big fish, and nobody was available to verify it. They wanted to release the fish, so they subsequently allowed their state record to slip back into the water. If they'd have killed it and weighed it and had it certified, that would have been another story. But they don't like to do that. However, that brings up another series of problems when they release those fish. Blue catfish are native to the Mississippi River Valley. They were introduced to the James and Rappahannock Rivers in the 70s. Since then, the fish have reproduced and spread throughout the tidal Potomac River system. Flathead catfish, another non-native invasive species, and blue catfish have subsequently turned up in the Nanticoke, the Susquehanna, the Northeast Rivers, the Upper Chesapeake Bay, and other waters. Tom O'Connell, my buddy, said, "We recognize the enthusiasm and economic impact of anglers in search of record catfish. However, we don't want to encourage the development and the spread of this species. As top predators, they're a serious threat to native species, which provide ecological and economic benefits to the region. Blue and flathead catfish are invasive, non-native species that are long-lived, fast-growing, and opportunistic feeders. Consequently, state and federal fisheries managers are concerned about their effect on the ecosystem and are working together to develop strategies to mitigate their impact. The Chesapeake Bay's program Sustainable Fisheries Goal Team, which includes representatives from Virginia, Maryland, Potomac River Fisheries Commission, District of Columbia, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, National Marine Fisheries Service, Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Service Commission, recently adopted a Chesapeake Bay blue and flathead catfish policy to reduce these catfish populations and stem their spread. The Chesapeake Bay program recently issued a news release on this new policy in conjunction with the National Invasive Species Awareness Week, and I think we did touch on that plan, and there's more. If you'd like to learn more about catfish, let me know, and I'll send you the links. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com is the email address. We invite you, if you'd like to learn more about the reduced rates on the hunting license bill that was heard yesterday by the Environmental Matters Committee. The fees were reduced substantially. And if you'd like those numbers, just simply call and ask. We'll give them to you, 410-922-6680. But if you'd like to print it out, go to the Maryland Hunting Quarterly website. It's the first item on the right-hand side of the homepage. If you want, you can read the entire Maryland Hunting Quarterly online. You can read it and respond to it. There's a list of advertisers there that have direct links to their websites, and you can learn more about them too. And if you go to the links page on Maryland Hunting Quarterly, you can find the tide charts, you can find the weather, you can find a little chart there on how to determine the weight of your deer. You can see sunrise and sunset tables. You can see the moon phase. So it's all right there for you, right at your fingertips. It's called MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. So speaking of that, let's talk to you about our friend Sean Mann. You know, it's time now to invest in a new goose call and learn how to use it. And if you've never done it, would you like to learn how to do it, learn like I did on a Sean Mann Eastern Shoreman goose call. I purchased a Sean Mann Eastern Shoreman goose call, and I practiced in my truck driving up and down the road. There is no law against that. There is law against texting and using your handheld cell phone. However, there is no law that prevents you from practicing your goose and waterfowl calls while you're driving up and down the highway. So you can drive, and you can learn to cluck and purr and honk and do whatever else geese do, make all the sounds of a wild goose like a Eastern Shoreman can reproduce. In your time that you take while you're driving back and forth to work or during your work. I mean, you know, all you guys, you're supposed to be working. Just go out there. I don't want to encourage distracted driving, seriously, but that is how I learn. Yeah. Anyway, SeanMann.com, www.SeanMann.com, to view all the varieties of all the Sean Mann calls and learn the history of the long call revolution is what it's called. Sean Mann became world champion in 1985 here in Maryland, subsequently became the champion of champions, and more world goose calling championships have been won with the Shoreman or the other Sean Mann call, the short read call called the Shorty, than any other calls. 800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. For Sean Mann, Sean Mann Outdoors, Sean Mann Eastern Shoreman Goose Calls. You got it. 800-345-4539 or SeanMann.com.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Well, that was quick. And we're back. Time for a couple more phone calls. 410-922-6680. 1-800-922-6680 is our phone number. By the way, did you notice that they lowered the boat registration fees? We had Bob Gaudette on here a couple of weeks ago, and conversation revolved around the need for millions and millions of dollars to make up for the loss in revenues from people who aren't able to buy boats. The revenues dropped like a rock, and the department asked for increase in boating fees. Now that has been dropped as well, not dropped altogether, but reduced substantially as far as the dollars are concerned. If you read the bill initially, there were some increases that were just unbelievable. And, people spoke out, people responded. Here is one thing, however, I want to bring up for those of you who are in the NRA, and maybe we'll talk about this later. The NRA sent out an email blast, and maybe you're an NRA member and received that and got all jacked up about the increase in the hunting license fees here in Maryland. I happen to know the budget numbers. I've happened to see the charts, the graphs about the reduction of money that's coming into to the fishery or to the Wildlife and Heritage Service. I happen to know that the public funds have been reduced substantially. The federal money has been pretty good as far as matching our numbers, but overall our license sales are steady, but there are a lot of expenses. And it's like anybody else's budget. When you need to make more money, you need to make more money. You get a part-time job or, you cut things out. We're cut to the bone here, pretty much, as far as staffing, as far as people doing multitasking. I mean, you look at people that today they're working on bear studies and tomorrow they're working on, river otters. And the next day they're working on some other fur bear or some other forest game project. And it's one guy that's running the whole deal rather than having enough people on the staff. So I know they're cut to the bone as far as staff. I know that they are in need of increased funding. But the NRA, without knowing the facts, simply sent out an email blast saying no new fees. Conservatives are saying no new taxes of any kind without even looking at the issue. And if you're an NRA member, I'd love to see you forward that email to me at ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'd like to share that on the air. I was trying to get it yesterday where the NRA sent out an email blast opposing the increase in hunting licenses to its members without knowing the facts. I didn't see the NRA in the meeting when the budget was shared. I didn't see the NRA having a conversation with the Secretary John Griffin or the Director Paul Pedito. I didn't see any of the representatives of the NRA in the room. Although there might have been some members there. But, just take that with a grain of salt. Take it from me that, unfortunately it comes at this time when times are tough and people need every dollar. But it is a necessary evil, unfortunately. So there we go. Let's see. The answer to your email is no, I haven't, but they're thinking about it. So there you go. All right. We're coming down to the end here. And Brian Farlow, as always, did an excellent job. We're still taking your phone calls, 410-922-6680. We'd love to hear from you. Let me just touch on this briefly about the reduced cost of boat registrations. The new cost structure will allow the state to precede, P-R-E-C-E-D, not proceed, precede. Somebody's, I'll get into this later. You know, when it's in the title, when it's in the title, and it's an error, it's a wrong word, it annoys me. So I stop there and take a look at it and go back and review. So, all right. I guess we'll listen to the news together here for the next couple of minutes, and then we'll be back after the top of the hour, after the news, with more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We welcome your input through email, if you'd like, particularly phone calls. We'd love to have you on the air. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. You're running the show, but if you don't call, then I got a yak. So 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680, or email Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Thank you.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford President's Award.